Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
All right, Wednesday afternoon already, so halfway to the weekend. I'm Scoot on the air. Very glad you are with us. I just posted a new video during the break. I posted a new video on Scoot on the Air Substack. Just go to substack.com, and I hope you will all join me there. Scoot on the Air Substack, and go to substack.com, find Scoot on the Air. I just posted a video about Paul McCartney turning 83 years old today. And the video is about how the baby boomer generation thought that youth was everything. Being young was everything. And they thought that once you got over 30, you were old. Well, look at baby boomers today. We are the establishment. Mick Jagger is over 80. Paul McCartney, 83. Rod Stewart is 79. He's about to turn 80. I don't know. Maybe he's turned. I don't think we've had his birthday, but I think it's coming up. Rod Stewart's about to be 80. So look, the message, if you're an Xer, millennial, or Zoomer, the message is, man, take care of your bod. Take care of yourself. I mean, do healthy things. Just, you know, don't abuse your body. Don't kill yourself with drugs. Don't drink too much. And take care of your body. And man, you can kick ass later in life. And that's not a message that I got. You know, for some reason, I, you know, felt like taking care of my body and taking care of myself. And, you know, I'm doing great today and I'm old. But if you take care of yourself, I mean, you can have a great time later in life. And that's not a message that baby boomers got. You know, we didn't even think about getting old. We didn't think there was going to be a pill to help keep us active after we reached a certain age. But the baby boomers invented that pill. So, you know, give that generation credit. You know, we got older. We didn't want to give up that part of our lives. So, you know, our generation helped invent, or the demand from our generation helped create the pill that, you know, keeps us going after a certain age. So, you know, it's awesome. But, you know, that whole video is about the youth mentality of the baby boomer generation. And how interesting it is that the baby boomer generation has matured. And also, I ask, if you're younger and you're into the Beatles, what's your favorite Beatles song? And if you're younger, if you didn't grow up with the Beatles, are you even into the Beatles? So that is a feature right down. I'd love your response on Substack, Scoot on the Air Substack. We're talking about a number of things. Donald Trump, the president, has changed his mind about going after illegal immigrants who work for hotels in the agriculture industry. About 2 weeks ago, he said, "Okay, we're gonna leave you alone," because he got complaints from the hotel industry and agricultural industry, and they said, "Look, we need illegal immigrants. You can't come in here and raid us, or we're gonna have problems." And so he said, "Okay, we're not gonna do that. We're gonna leave you alone," which I thought was very hypocritical. I was okay with it, but I thought it was very hypocritical. So now the president suddenly changes his mind, because I guess it got back to him that it was hypocritical. So now they're going after illegal immigrants in the hotel and in the agricultural industries. Also, the president is rejecting his own country's intel. I would like to think that U.S. intelligence is really keen, but President Trump is rejecting it, doesn't care about it. You know, I guess it might cause him to read the report. And it's well known that President Trump doesn't read. But I mean, couldn't he have somebody read to him? I mean, couldn't he get like a Coca-Cola and some McDonald's and just kind of kick back in an easy chair? I'm sure President Trump has a recliner in the residential area of the White House. Couldn't he kick back in the recliner and have somebody read the report to him? But anyway, he's rejecting U.S. intel, and it seems like he's driven to want to get involved in this war, this conflict between Iraq and Israel. I'm sorry, Iran and Israel. Sometimes they all blend together to me. Israel and Iran. He again, the report is that he was watching Fox News and he was really struck by this idea that Fox News was talking about the Israeli military genius and how they've done all this. I mean, suddenly the president is using the pronoun we. We control the skies over Iran when a couple of weeks ago, Israel said, actually, almost after it started, Israel said, we control the skies over Iran. But now the president wants credit for that. And I think the U.S. did help with that. But he's making it seem like, you know, we pretty much did it ourselves. And so this whole idea of getting involved on the part of Donald Trump seems to be driven by his ego. And damn it, I don't want a president who is making foreign policy decisions driven by his damn ego. I mean, I don't want to be in a freaking war. I just got a text from my daughter-in-law and she said, are we all going to die? I mean, I'm watching these videos of people saying we're about to get involved in a nuclear war. I don't think that's going to happen. I think we're going to be okay. And I answered her, you know, during the break. But, you know, this stuff is scaring people because it's scary stuff. I mean, this is like big boy stuff, big girl stuff. And it's not stuff to play around with. And we've got a president in the White House who is driven by nothing but his damn ego. Nothing but his damn ego. And that's not going to do well. That doesn't work. And you don't tell Iran you're defenseless, because Iran is not defenseless. No country's defenseless. Yeah, like all the countries were during the trade thing, the tariff thing that he started, like the countries were going to come running to us. Well, they didn't. So, you know, when you think and act like a damn bully, you know, you better make sure you're picking on people that really can't get up once you punch them. And so far, the president's not punching people who can't get up because they can get up. And this idea that he does not care about U.S. intel is really, you know, pretty scary. If you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. Also, I started talking about this morning, and if you're just tuning in, we're going to continue with this. I'm not going to let this die. There is less food coming in from the USDA, from the government. And so there are more children who are not eating. They don't have food because school is out. And a lot of kids in this area depend on the meals that they get at school. And they're not getting meals during the summer. This breaks my heart. And I don't see how we can tolerate this. We have to do something. And I'm not exactly sure what to do, but I don't want to give money or food to something that is going to have a bunch of channels, and it goes through all these channels, and who knows if it gets to the kids. I want to do what I can, and I want you to help me. I need your help. I can't do it alone. But I think we should bond together and just do something. I think of the faces of these kids that are young, and they're growing up, and their brains and their bodies are developing, and they don't have proper nutrition. I mean, that breaks my heart. I mean, it doesn't affect my life other than it tears me up inside to think that there are kids who came into this world. They didn't ask to be born in that situation. And they're young kids who are going to be at a tremendous disadvantage later in life because they didn't have proper nutrition when their brains and bodies were developing. That's sad to me. We can't tolerate that. We can do better as a society. And we can find ways to spend money to make sure that these kids have food. So if you want to suggest anything, you can send me an email. Scoot@WWL.com is my email address, scoot@WWL.com. Or you can call or text our show. But I don't want to let this die. We can't solve it today. We can't solve it in a day or two. We can't solve it in a week. But I'm going to find a way to get some food to a lot of these kids who don't have food. They don't have three meals a day because they're not getting food at school. These kids should have food. Let's go to Ken. Ken, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Yes, good. How are you doing? Maybe good. A little bit of an awkward transition, but just a little insight into the business acumen of the Trump organization. If you go online to the Trump website for the new Trump phone and cell service, and you actually call the number, you get a Verizon out of service issue message that line no longer works and it's a Verizon line.
I talked about that yesterday, that the Trump phone and Trump mobile can be deceptive, and there's a lot of things that are not disclosed, and they're using Verizon, AT&T, and I think T-Mobile because they don't have the service themselves. So it's kind of a con job.
Well, and where are the phones actually manufactured? I mean, they're saying it's U.S. made, but that's not feasible.
No, it's not U.S. made. They're made in China, but so they're lying about where they're made. I mean, it's a con job.
It absolutely is. So I thought you might, if you haven't looked at the number, I thought you might appreciate that.
I haven't called it yet. I do appreciate it, and I appreciate the call. And I'm glad you exposed them for what they are. I mean, it's a fraud. Thanks a lot, Ken. From Homa, Tom, you're on WWL. Hey, Tom.
Hey, how we doing? I don't know if y'all recall me or not, but I'm one that usually complains about Ukraine war and a future war in Georgia that didn't materialize. But today we're going to be talking about Iran. How do you like that?
Okay. It's okay. We're talking about Iran, yes.
All right. Well, here we go. I'm going to tell you how I see things going if Trump gets involved in Iran, okay?
Okay.
If Trump gets involved in Iran, I'm going to tell you right now, I think he's going to get blown out in the midterms. I think the Democrats are going to take the House. I think this is pretty easy stuff. I think the dollar is going to become weaker because this is going to challenge the petrodollar. Once you start intervening and you start getting major foreign powers upset, things start moving around. Dollar loses the world's reserve currency status. It can get bad. I think the Democrats are going to flood us with foreigners and make us an economic zone again. I think the Democrats get the House. I think that ultimately, I'm going to give you the spoiler. This is the ultimate spoiler of what happens if we go into Iran. Get your pens and your papers out, kids. I'm giving you the big prediction. I think if we do that, it's going to be an ISIS-like organization that's going to take hold, perhaps like 3 or 4 or 5 even. I think they're going to be substantially weaker than what Iran is currently, but it's going to be much more volatile, just like Syria, which is why that was a bad idea too. And we're probably going to leave some military hardware on our way out, like we did in Afghanistan. I'm going to go ahead and throw that in there. I think that's going to happen too.
Okay.
I think Israel, after that, will reign supreme over the Middle East. However, once they get comfortable, they're going to drop the bag somewhere along the way. And then it's all, I don't really know who kind of comes up with that from there. But I don't know. I would forecast get ready for the America to become less of a country, more of an economic zone. To which, by the way, if that really happens, if we really become an economic zone, if we still have to pay income taxes in an economic zone while other people kind of come in here and leave as they please, listen, we're going to be second-class citizens in our own country. I think that's a bad move, too.
All right, Tom, I think what you say is interesting, but, I'm not going to buy into this idea that the Democrats, as dumb as they have been, I don't know that they're dumb enough to not pick up on what's going on. I think they learned a big lesson in Trump winning again, and I think they know what they need to do. I could be wrong, but I don't think we're going to have a flood of people. If Democrats take over Congress, I don't think we're going to have things that just open the gates again at the border. I don't think that's going to happen. I think what Donald Trump, the one good thing Donald Trump did was make a statement about the border, and it just goes to show you how easily President Biden could have done something about the border, but failed to do something about the border. So I don't think the Democrats, again, as dumb as they are, I don't think they're going to make that same mistake again. And I think there's going to be a new wave among Democrats. And I think if the Democrats are smart, they're going to be more moderate and they're going to reject the far left. And unlike the Republican Party that embraced the far right, the Democrats are going to reject the far left, and they're going to realize that they need to be more moderate. We'll see what happens. All right, if you're on hold, stay with us. If you want to join us, Oaken Heart Jewelers, talking text line 504-260-1870. And we've got to get to some of your text messages, and we will do that coming up. On the Scoot on the Air calendar, on this day in 1967, the Jimi Hendrix Experience made their famous debut at the Monterey Pop Festival in California. The other day, we told you that it was the day the Monterey Pop Festival began. This was the first of the pop festivals in the Summer of Love, 1967. And there was an argument between The Who and Jimi Hendrix about who was going to close out the festival. Jimi Hendrix, The Who played first, and Jimi Hendrix closed things out. The Who destroyed their instruments for the first time, and for the first time, Jimi Hendrix set his guitar on fire. All of this happened at the Monterey Pop Festival, and Jimi Hendrix closed it out on this day in 67. I'm Scoot on the Air, and we'll be back on WWL. You know, a lot of people think that what Jimi Hendrix is really saying is, excuse me while I kiss this guy. But no, it's excuse me while I kiss the sky. We'll be back on WWL.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
WWL. This is one of my favorite Paul McCartney singles. Today we're wishing happy birthday to Paul McCartney. Paul McCartney, 83 years old. I mean, this is a freaking milestone. I mean, when he hit 80, that was a milestone. But every birthday thereafter is a milestone because of the mentality of the baby boomer generation about youth being everything. And if you lived a good life and if you were fortunate enough to get older, you know, you can still have a youthful attitude. I mean, you don't have to act old just because you are more mature, we'll say. And I love this. I think this is just a great statement about, you know, you don't ever have to act your age, and you don't have to be old in your mind and your heart. You don't have to be old. And again, Xers, millennials, Zoomers, take care of your bods. Take care of them. It's the only body you're going to have. I mean, you can make some adjustments along the way to your body, but, you know, just take care of it and, you know, you'll be kicking butt later. Let's go to Clyde in Natchez. Hey, Clyde, welcome to the show.
Hey, Scoot, how are you doing today, doctor?
I'm good.
You know what I was saying? I think that America is in a domestic violence relationship with Donald Trump. I think that it just feels like, you know, he's got the belt. He can spank us wherever he wants to, but he don't want to go over there and he's a bully, but he's a bully for us. But he don't want to go over there and get Japan or Russia or whatever the case may be. So he shows the world how big he is by beating us up because he got all the power here in America. You know, and I sit back and I say, you know what, this is a domestic violence relationship. He didn't go to war. You know, as a matter of fact, he only beat what? He beat two women in the presidential election. Never beat a man. So I'm just trying to figure out if he's trying to live vicariously through our military to say, look, you know, I can be strong. I'm going to show the world that I'm strong, but I'm not going to mess with Putin.
You know, Clyde, I think there may be some truth to that. You know, a lot of speculation about, you know, how Trump thinks. But I mean, right now, his mind is not totally stable. I mean, this going back and forth on key issues. I mean, you know, presidents don't do that. They're not supposed to do that. I don't mind a president making a mistake and realize, hey, wait a minute, I got to change this. But there's too much back and forth. And President Trump is being swayed mainly, I believe, by Stephen Miller. And so somewhere between what Trump wants to do and what Stephen Miller wants, the president is trapped in the middle there. Before we get to some of your text messages, let me just mention about Tyler Perry being sued for $260 million over sexual harassment and assault allegations. The suit is coming from actor Derek Dixon, a dude. They met back in 2019. And Tyler Perry's attorney is essentially saying that this guy apparently got close to Tyler Perry for the purpose of setting up a scam, that basically he tried to, you know, get get close to him, and like maybe there was something that went on for the purpose of a scam, because this guy is claiming that Tyler Perry created a coercive, sexually exploitive dynamic between them when he was starring in the filmmakers' shows The Oval and Ruthless. And the complaint accuses Tyler Perry of initially promising him career advancement and creative opportunities, such as producing his pilot and casting him in his show, only to subject him to escalating sexual harassment, assault, and battery and professional retaliation when Mr. Dixon did not reciprocate Mr. Perry's unwanted advances. So, you know, I don't know what's going on here. Tyler Perry's attorney is convinced that this is really nothing, that it's a scam, and it's going to be exploited as such. But I tell you, man, you know, guys have to really be careful about who they are with. And I think it was yesterday we talked about the story of a guy. It's either yesterday or Monday. A guy picks up a girl in a bar. I think she was in her 20s. Picks up a girl in a bar, brings her home, and she steals his $30,000 Rolex. You know, don't fall asleep while they're still in the house. You know, stay awake and, you know, make sure they leave before you, you know, doze off. And there are cases where, you know, women use sex to take advantage of men. I mean, this probably goes back to the beginning of time, because women have that power. They have, you know, the power. And, you know, I mean, if you're a guy, I mean, I hate to tell you this. I don't want to ruin your life, but, you know, you really have to be careful. And you just have to think about the possibility that something is going to happen and that somebody's going to claim something about you that may not be true for the purpose of getting something from you. And I hate to add that into your whole idea of meeting somebody, but I think you have to take that into consideration. Okay, let's go to Ian with some of your text messages.
Okay, we're a little backed up, so they're kind of all over the place. We'll start with Iran. Here's a text that says, oh, no, that's not it. Here it is. Soothsayer Sam is listening today, and he says about this whole situation, when is the world going to get over its denial and realize the world is at war? It's not just Israel and Iran. There's 92 other countries fighting armed conflicts outside their borders. The world is at war. And as Master Military Intelligence Operative Scoot points out, there are sleeper cells in the United States waiting for the word to attack from inside our own country. Buy more ammo.
Well, look, you know, I look, a lot of that is true. But, you know, if we're not at war, we're not at war. And the world has been, as far as the United States is concerned, there are a lot of wars going on. But as far as the U.S. is concerned and big wars, the world has been relatively peaceful recently. But that doesn't mean that things can't erupt. And look at what's going on between Israel and Iran. I mean, this is why I said during the campaign, Trump cannot control the economy. He cannot prove that inflation is going to go down. He cannot make inflation go down if he wins. And this is going to change the price of oil, which changes the economy completely. And so presidents don't really have control over the economy. President Trump made you think that he did. And look at this situation now. You're paying more. Inflation is here.
In regard to not having a fast answer about what he wants to do, here's a text that says, I'm not MAGA, but I have to say what may seem like indecision is probably more just to keep the Iranians guessing. I doubt that the Japanese broadcast to their citizens that they were going to bomb Pearl Harbor.
Well, as you have heard this afternoon, I've said nothing about that because I agree with that. I mean, President Trump should not announce what he's going to do. And I totally agree with that. The United States does not have to announce to the world what they're going to do. I mean, there was a situation where I think it was Somalia and the SEAL team was coming ashore in Somalia. I mean, it was a joke. The TV cameras were there. They announced that the SEAL team was going to be landing on the shores of Somalia. And so the TV cameras were there. The media was there. And they here's this secret mission that's being totally televised live on TV. I mean, that was kind of a joke. So, yes, I agree. President Trump need not say exactly what he's going to do.
I'll read one more about Iran before we move on to hungry kids. This text says, I served in the military during the Vietnam War. I did it with honor. Let me say, combat is not for the weak of heart. Therefore, threatening military action where lives will be lost should not be taken lightly. It never ceases to amaze me how quickly someone or some politician calls for the U.S. To conduct some type of military action without any provocation or reason. Yeah. I say if they truly believe in military action, first nut up and volunteer and get a taste before asking others. I think Trump needs to send his three sons first, the three Beavs, Beavis, Butthead, and Barron.
It's pretty rough, but Trump has no experience in the military, and he seems like he might be quick. See, but here's the great irony of this. You know, Trump was on the campaign trail, and what did he say? I'm going to get us out of all wars. I'm going to make sure we're not in war. I'm going to end the war in Ukraine. I'm going to end the war there, and we're not going to get in wars. We don't need to be in wars. And look what's happening. He's becoming a friggin' instigator. I mean, I don't understand why people are so enamored with this man who is such a farce. He can't make up his mind. And I am telling you the absolute truth. Everything that I'm saying is totally documented. He was a peacemaker on the campaign trail. We're going to get out of all wars. I'm going to take care of us. And now he seems to be on the verge of being an instigator because he's the one who's suggesting that we get involved. So we'll see what happens.
No, I lied. I'll give you two more. Here's one that says, during Trump's first term, he believed Putin over our own intelligence community. And he said that out loud. Yet the electorate put him back in.
That was Helsinki.
About hungry kids. Here's a text that says, sorry, but if you can't afford to feed your child, the state should get involved and remove the child from the home. You'd have to be a complete moron to have children when you can't provide for their very basic needs.
Well, there are a lot of morons out there, and I think that is a definite problem. I mean, I get it. People are given money to take care of their kids, but some of them are not spending the money in the right way, but some of them have bills that, you know, I hate to say it, but I guess in some cases food is not an option. I mean, I'm not part of that world, so I don't know firsthand.
The text seems not really to account for the fact that people often fall into poverty,
yes,
having already had children. It could happen to you, texter, if you and your spouse both lost your jobs and then you broke your back and you couldn't return to work and you had, you know, $500,000 in medical debt. Guess what? You might need food stamps.
Yeah.
So don't look at people who are collecting them and saying, oh, well, you shouldn't have kids because it doesn't always work like that. And you should be a little smarter and a little more compassionate than to paint with a broad brush.
It's a great point. And it just goes to show you how some people are just motivated by hate and non-compassion. And this is one of the reasons why Donald Trump, who has a lot of hate in his heart and is not compassionate at all. I mean, we don't have to worry about Trump dying of a heart attack. He doesn't have a heart. It's amazing how void he is of empathy. And he just proved it again with just saying, why do I need to call the Democratic governor of Minnesota? I mean, why do I need to call him? I mean, a couple of Democrats are assassinated. Big deal. And, you know, I mean, obviously the Democratic lawmaker and her husband are Democrats. They were killed. And then the others were injured. Another lawmaker and her and his wife injured and almost killed. So I just I think it's amazing. It's astounding the lack of empathy that this president has. And, you know, with no empathy, I guess it's easy to get into war. So, you know, we do have to really pay attention to what's going on. But I think we're going to be OK. Hey, I remember playing this song when it was released in 1973 and, you know, played it kind of as an oldie in 1975. I love the lyrics. This is the song Brother Louie, released by The Stories on this day in 1973. And it was all about mixed couple relationships.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Chips. All right, on the Scoot on the Air calendar on this day in 1988, this was the number one song in America. I can still hit that post, you know. Hitting the post is, you know, when the DJ, you know, talks until the singing starts. I can still hit the post, baby. Yeah, number one song, Together Forever. A lot of people thought this was done by a black artist because Rick Astley had that deep voice. But, you know, he's a white guy. In fact, I've said this many times. I dance kind of similar to Rick Astley. I don't want to admit that, but, you know, he kind of has that Caucasian move about him. I kind of have that Caucasian move, too. Oh, you got the bugle? Okay, let's hit the bugle. Last night, Louisiana Downs in Lafayette in the sixth race. Scoot won. Scooteria won the race. Scooteria has got over his allergy, and he is running like a wild horse. So I was really happy to hear that. Miss Evelyn Benoit texted me last night. I was sitting at my desk working, and she said, Scoot just won the race in Louisiana Downs. So I'm really happy to have you hear that. You know, a horse named after you is a winner. That's kind of cool. Hey, let's go to Chuck and Gonzalez. Hey, Chuck.
Hey, Scoot, I was just calling about the Beatles.
Okay.
I'm about the same age as you, so I know you grew up, like, playing broomsticks in garages, singing I Want to Hold Your Hand and all that stuff.
Yeah.
It was amazing. I wish the generations after the Beatles, you know, after our generation, could experience more of their songs. I mean, I'm just reading this little article. 1962 to 1970, they made over almost 400 songs. And actually, they think there was over 1,000 when you wrote down all the little scribbles and everything. That was like, you know, the main catalog, like over 40 songs a year. And I'm telling you, I'm just scrolling down their catalog. There's not a song in there that I can't say that I didn't fall in love with. And that wasn't almost totally different from every other song that they did.
Well, that's
how
the key.
They did this is
that's
flat
a key,
out
Chuck.
Amazing.
Not only did they do so much in a short period of time, but the diversity of music that came from them was just unprecedented.
It is, and I guess you saw the movie yesterday. I'm sure with
no,
Sharon.
I hate to admit this.
I haven't seen it.
I know everybody tells me that, and I do more work on this show than some people think, and I get involved at home working or looking up stuff, and I honestly, I haven't seen it yet, but I'm going to make that a priority, because everybody tells me I'm going to see
it. You have got to, because it just brings them songs out.
Okay.
The guy Patel really does a good job of singing their songs, and it's such a cute story of how they weave in this whole thing of getting the Beatles songs together. But I mean, what I wish kids could do nowadays, I know everybody's heard the Beatles, but I wish they could listen to some of the catalog songs, because the 5% of the songs of the Beatles that are played on the radio, that's not even their best work, if you ask me.
Yeah.
The other 95% is just one incredible song after another that I can tell you most people have never heard half of these songs.
You know, Chuck,
80% of these songs.
I think there are more young people into the Beatles than you might think, because, you know, at Beatles Fest is coming up July 12th. Molly Ringwald's are going to be there, and, you know, others, Irma Thomas and just a bunch of people are going to be there. It's really great. It's going to be in the Jefferson Performing Arts Center. And the younger people at Beatles Fest would surprise you. So I think there are more younger people into the Beatles than you might think. But you're right. I mean, if somebody's not into the Beatles, you should really at least check them out. I know they're not for everybody, but they should be for a lot of people, because the Beatles are really, you know, pretty amazing. All right, we're going to come back to wrap up the show here in just a minute. I'm shocked by this. On this day in 1977. This was the number one song in America. What is amazing to me is this was Fleetwood Mac's only number one song. All the great songs they had only one number one. That is astounding to me. I mean, they had number one albums, Rumors, they had number one album, but they never had a number one hit other than this song, Dreams, which was from Rumors. All right, we'll be right back on WWL. All right, Sports Talk, Mike Dettillier, Steve Geller coming up next. We'll talk about the Saints Hall of Fame and LSU playing at 6 o'clock. All right, thanks to everybody involved in the show, and I thank you for being part of it. I'm Scoot. Love you, New Orleans.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.